Well, good morning, church family. Come on, stand up across this room. It's really good to be together this morning. Let's worship Jesus. We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors and he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. Yeah. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 oh. We shout out your praise.
Come on, lift your voice and sing it out. We sing.
We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross. Then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. Yeah. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise.
We were the beggars.
We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Come on, sing it out.
We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. So let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Let me hear you sing.
There's joy in the house of the Lord.
So much joy.
There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet.
No, no.
Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out.
Celebrate his presence today. There's joy here in this place. So we're the redeemed of the Lord, and it's time to say so. Can I get a witness?
He led me out of the desert. He brought me into his stream, river of living water. He turned my bitter into sweet, and all my burdens I lifted. He took the shackles off my feet. Oh, there's no sound louder than a captive set free.
Sing it out.
So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness. Let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
The redeemed of the Lord, that's me and that's you. We gotta say so. There's joy in the morning.
There is joy in the morning, springing up in my soul. And there's a life worth living, 'cause he calls me his own. And there's a hallelujah after sweet victory. And there's no sound louder than a captive set free.
That's right.
And there's no sound louder than a captive set free. So let the redeemed of the Lord sing so, sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness, let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Let's declare this together. You are mine.
You are my deliverer. The freedom I'm living in.
Sing it loud.
You are my deliverer. You are my promised land. You are my deliverer. The freedom I'm living in. You are my deliverer. You are my promised land. You are my deliverer. The freedom I'm living in. You are my deliverer. You are my promised land. You are my deliverer. The freedom I'm living in. You are my deliverer. You are my promised land. So let the redeemed of the Lord sing so. Sing of his promise.
So before you're seated this morning, would you turn to someone standing next to you, say, Happy New Year. It's happening this last Sunday of 2024.
All right, well, good morning and Happy New Year, everyone. All right, I didn't know if it was too early to say it, but Rick got us there, so Happy New Year. I hope you guys had an amazing Christmas and maybe had some time away and got to relax and spend time with family this past week. And I know that we had an incredible week this week, especially at Christmas Eve, and just being able to see this room filled up five times was incredible. And so we want to welcome you here today. My name is Lance Millsaps, and I have the honor and privilege of serving as our next-gen pastor here, meaning I get to oversee everybody from birth till they graduate from high school. So it's a really fun age group that I get to have here, and we just want to say welcome. We're so glad that you are here today, and that maybe you're out of town, maybe you're a guest with us today for the very first time, and we want to say how grateful we are that you chose to join us today. And our staff and our team, we would love to meet you. We'd love to greet you, to get to know you, just to answer any questions you may have about the church. And so today, after the service, if you want to meet our staff out at Guest Central, we would love to say hello, just to maybe put a gift in your hand, just to say welcome, and love to have you here. Or maybe you're watching online today and you want to let us know that you're watching. You can text the word connect to 55125, and we would love to, our staff would love to reach out with you and connect with you as well. Well, as you may know, the year is coming to an end, and we just want to say thank you on behalf of our church. It has been an incredible year of ministry. The Lord has done incredible things in the life of our church this year, whether that's in kids and preschool, students, adults, missions, in this room. The Lord has done unbelievable things this year through Adventure Week and Freedom Weekend and Beach Camp and summer camps and mission trips and all the things that the Lord has been able to bless our church with this year. And that could not happen without you and your faithful giving that you have done for our church this year. And so now I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward as we're about to continue in worship by taking our tithes and offerings. But I do know that for many, it is the end of the year, and I want to let you know that tomorrow and Tuesday, the church atrium will be open for any end of year giving that you would like to do. Anything that you would want to drop off, that is going to be available. The offices or the church atrium will be open the next 2 days for that. But will you join me in prayer as we continue to worship today? Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity that we have today to come before you. So, Lord, that we can just surrender it all to you today and just give thanks for what you've done in our life. And as we look forward to 2025, Lord, just the excitement that we have. God, I pray that this year is not just looking forward to just the personal changes that we're going to make in our life and the resolutions that we're going to make. But God, this year will be about our focus being centered fully on you. That God, that we will fix our eyes on you. We will put our trust in you. That, Lord, that we will run after you in everything that we do. God, as we give back to you, even in these next few moments, Lord, I pray, God, that you will take these gifts and you will use them for your kingdom, that we'll see you prosper in Salina and the surrounding areas in our city, our states, our country, and our nations be impacted by it. We love you, Jesus. We're grateful for your son, for coming to this earth to live the life that we could never live, to die the death that we deserve so that one day we could spend eternity with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Lance. I love singing the great hymns of the church. One of my favorites.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Would you stand and sing the second verse?
There is pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. There's strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all.
Great is thy faithfulness, great.
serve a faithful God. We build our lives, our homes, our church on one foundation.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when strife cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I say. Alone, who took on flesh the fullness of God in helpless faith. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live.
In Christ alone I live.
Sing there in the ground.
In the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost his grip on, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
No guilt,
no guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry.
You may be seated.
Well, good morning. So good to be back together again. If you have your copy of God's Word, please turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 is where we're going to be today. And if you and I haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name is Cole Travis, and I have the honor of serving as our minister to high school students here at the North Campus of our church. And man, what a fun time of the year. I was reflecting on the words of the songs that we have just sung. And man, I love that hymn, that in Christ alone is where we stand. And what a timely time of the year to sing a song like this, because I feel like a week like the one we're in is filled with both reflection as well as dedication. And so we reflect on this whole past year of how God maybe has called you to walk through some things that have grown you or have developed you in a certain way, reflecting on the blessings that he's bestowed on you in your life. You know, I'm just reflecting on even just this past week, on Tuesday of Christmas Eve, this room was filled 5 times with so many people that came that heard the message of the gospel. And so I'm just so blessed to be a part of this church and be a part of this family with you. But as we kind of look forward, it's also a season of dedication. You know, maybe for you, this week has felt a little weird. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. Maybe you've just enjoyed your Christmas presents and just vegged out in your house. So thank you for getting out and joining us today. But in this season of New Year, and maybe you are thinking of New Year's resolutions and what 2025 could look like in your life. Many of us are future-minded, and a lot of people are wanting more out of life. And in light of this time of looking forward, of wanting more out of life and making these resolutions about the future, my challenge to you is to remember that God has called you to a life that's meant for more. He's called you to a greater calling and called you to something greater than anything this life could offer you. And my reminder to you is that this calling is to know God and make him known, and nothing in this world can compare to that. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, we see a unique instance of God calling Jeremiah to a life that's greater. And I believe we learn a few truths about what it means to live a life that's meant for more. I think this time of year, it's easy to lose track of this because it's so easy for the temptations of this life and temporary worries that we walk through to distract us from the real reason why we're here. For example, I'll be the first to admit I have a very short attention span. That's probably why I'm really great with our teenagers. So we have the same attention span. I'm easy to forget things. I get really distracted. And so one time I learned this the hard way. A few years ago, my wife Bailey and I moved into our first home, and we were starting a home project that required a special saw that we did not have. And so like the proud and responsible homeowner that I now was, it was now my responsibility to fix this problem. Thank you to YouTube University. But I didn't have this tool, so I had to go to Home Depot to get this specific saw. But when I walked in, I quickly realized I had no idea where this thing was. I was lost. And just like every man who has ever been lost in a hardware store, I did not ask for help at all. I said, my pride is going to get the better of me, and I would rather die in this Home Depot than ask for help. I'm going to figure this out, right? But the issue was my searching quickly turned to shopping, and I went down every aisle, but I found some really cool stuff. I went to the kind of the greenery section. I found some cool chemicals for our yard, and you know, I found this paint that would look really good in a whole nother project we would have around the house. I was really excited. I came home, and I shared with my wife all the cool things that I found at Home Depot. And she looked at me and says, where's the saw? So I looked at her, turned around, and went back to Home Depot to get the one thing that I was meant to go get, right? And many of you, maybe you're like me, you go to Costco with a list of maybe 3 things on your shopping list, and somehow you walk out with $100 worth of stuff you didn't even intend to be. That's just me. No. Hey, it's their fault for having samples, okay? They have samples that get the better of me, but it's easy to forget why we are here in life, because there's many things that temptations and trials we may face will distract us from our purpose. See, we're put on this earth for something greater, greater than anything this world has to offer. So the title of this message today is just simply meant for more. We are meant for more. But when I say more, what do I mean? Maybe for you, the more in this life that you're tempted to seek after are things like this. Maybe this new year, you just want more accomplishments. Man, if I only had this new job, I'll be happy. Or maybe you are in college. You think, as soon as I graduate and get out of here, then I'm going to be happy. Or as soon as I get married, as soon as I find the one, I'm going to be happy. You want more out of life. Maybe for you, it's more stuff. Man, I just want a nicer car. I want a nicer house. I want to fill my house with nice things. Maybe that's your more to be tempted to seek after. Maybe for you, it's the praise of other people. The applause of man is the more that you're tempted to seek. For many of us, it's more freedom. I know that's the biggest fight and frustration I would say many of our young people struggle with, is wanting something that they cannot yet have or they are not yet ready for. That's the frustration they walk in. Maybe it's just more. But the problem is that chasing the next thing in life will never satisfy you. Because what I believe oftentimes Satan does in our life is he robs you of the joy of today by worrying about tomorrow. So my challenge to you is to realize that you've been called for more. My challenge is to reflect on this. Is what your heart longs for really going to matter in a million trillion years from now? In light of eternity, what matters most? We're called to more, and that's simply this, is to know God, be transformed by him, and make him known. I read a poem today, this week. I wanted to share this line from a poem by C.T. Studd. He says this: only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. This is the calling we're meant to live. Not to be distracted with anything the world has to give, but listen to the words of Jesus in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came so that they may have life and life abundantly. Today we're going to talk about what that abundant life looks like, and a life that's meant for more, a higher purpose, a higher calling that God has called each and every one of you to live. I believe it's defined by three truths. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, we're going to see what those are. But it's important to understand the context of where we're going to be today, specifically verses 4 through 10. So now Jeremiah was called at a really early age to be a prophet. He was serving as a priest in Israel of that time. But his calling to a prophet was so much more than his priestly responsibilities. In that time, priests, simply a lot of their responsibility were maintenance in minded. So they led rituals, they kept things clean, but a prophet was called to so much more. He was called to speak to people's hearts and oftentimes give a message that people didn't want to hear. And this is what his calling was. Jeremiah was also known as the weeping prophet, which was kind of an unfortunate nickname, if I'm honest. I don't know if I want to be known as the weeping anything. But when we reflect on this, the weeping had much more to do with the mourning over his unrepentant hearts of his country. See, he was sent to deliver a message, and for 40 years, not one person he spoke to repented. Not one. And so I don't know if you've ever been in a situation in your life where you see someone you love not doing the things they ought to do, trying to convince them to turn away and follow what they ought to do, and they still would not turn. See, that frustration that you may feel is what he held in his heart for 40 years. And this unrepentant nation eventually would have been taken over by the Babylonians led by King Nebuchadnezzar. We understand stories like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the prophet Daniel. That came after, but he's preaching to a country of unrepentant hearts. And we see exactly how God calls him to do this. Picking up in verse 4, we start with this. He says, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. What I love about even just those first two verses, as we pause there and reflect, what I love about those first few verses is that God tells Jeremiah that he knows him far before he asks anything from him. Do you see that? He makes a claim that he has known him deeply, and it's an invitation for Jeremiah to know him as well. And so in order for us to step into this calling, this greater purpose God has for your life, we got to understand this first truth is simply this, is that God knows those he calls. He knows those he calls. And this invitation is to know him as well. That should be the chief aim of our life. Step one is to know God and have a relationship with him. Jeremiah echoes this later in Jeremiah chapter 9. He says this, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices love, practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth." He makes this statement that he knows him. But why is it important that he says, "I know you," before calling him to do something? This matters because the people of their day were very confused. See, they tended to confuse knowing about God with knowing God. See, just a few short years later, there was a king known as King Josiah who led the whole nation to repentance. They had worshiped idols that they made with their own hands, and Josiah found this scroll in a temple and repented of his sins and led everyone to repent as well. But as soon as he passed and multiple kings came in and out, they turned back to the passions instead. See, Jeremiah 2 describes it this way. It says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." See, why does he make this statement that he knows him? He knows him because this is an issue of the heart. Stepping into a calling that God has for your life is an issue of your own desires and your heart. See, God wants first to know you before asking anything from you. See, it's easy to confuse knowing about God and knowing of God. J.I. Packer was a writer. He wrote a book called Knowing God. And he says this, he says, "A little knowledge of God is worth more than a great deal of knowledge about God. For knowing God is a relationship calculated to thrill a person's heart." If you're going to be chasing after this greater purpose, it starts with a relationship with the Almighty. Knowing him, seeking after him. But you know what? Just simply knowing theology and knowing stories about God, but not having a relationship with him is like this. It's like wearing a jersey of your favorite team, but never playing in the game. You know, one thing I always laugh about, I'm a big college football fan, and this is a great time for all my college football fans going into the new year. But when I hear people talking about this, I often laugh at some of the language they use. Sometimes they say, "Hey, how are you guys feeling today?" You know, and a guy responds, "Man, we are looking good. I'm excited for us going into this weekend." But I want to look at him and say, "Man, you're an accountant. You are not on the field." Getting this "we and us" lingo always kind of cracks me up. But you can wear the jersey. You can even have the gear. You could know all of the plays. You can know everything about the team, but still be sitting in the stands. This is the difference. If you just know about God and your confidence before God has everything to do with your appearance or performance or knowledge, two things will end up happening in your life. One, you'll either be filled up with pride as you compare your knowledge to others, or we will use our knowledge to justify sin in our life. Knowing about God but not knowing him is just sitting on the sidelines. You see, maybe many of you have gotten very comfortable and confident in looking the part of a follower of Jesus and looking like you know him and knowing the things to say, but you do not know him. So the greatest fear I believe we should have in our life to those that don't know Jesus is the day where we pass and we're standing before the Father and he says, "Depart from me." Why? Because you didn't go to church? No. Why? Because you didn't do enough? No, he says, "Depart from me." Why? Because I do not know you. This is where it begins, is a relationship with Jesus. And what separates us from that is our sin. See, sin separates us from God. But when we trust in Jesus and the sacrifice he's made for you and me, by his righteousness, not our own, we're entered into a relationship with him again. So in order to follow after this calling he has for your life, this meant for more, this higher purpose, higher calling, you got to know him first. That means seeking after him. It means spending time with him, loving him, being molded by his word. This is what this means. It all begins with a relationship with him. So God knows those he calls. As we keep reading, we see more. So picking up in verse 6, we see this. Jeremiah's response. He says, "Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." See, what happens here is so interesting to read because it just shows the authenticity of Scripture. That when Jeremiah was faced with this high calling in his life, he also came face to face with his own inadequacies. But this is why it's so important for us to understand this, is that point number two, we understand that God justifies those he calls. Yes, he knows those he calls and invites us to know him too, but he justifies our weaknesses. See, a justification is happening here because God is taking what seems to be a fault and giving it a purpose. You see, God fills in the gaps of our own shortcomings to accomplish the calling he's placed before you. See, God's saying, don't say you're too young because I am the one that justifies you. See, this calling he's placed before you to know him and make him known, we live on a borrowed strength. It's on his strength and his righteousness that we live. See, but the issue is, one problem I think many of us have with truly understanding this, is because many of you have maybe heard this sentence here, is that God will never give you more than you can handle. You ever heard that before? Well, that's wrong. Not true. That's all. It's a misunderstanding of 1 Corinthians 10:13 when God says he will never allow a temptation before you without giving you the power of the Holy Spirit and a way out of this temptation. But when he calls you to a greater purpose, whether it be to follow after him or go through a trial, we're often called to be at the end of our rope. But I promise you, church, that's the place where you want to be. See, we shouldn't fear a life of missing out. We shouldn't fear a life of poverty. We shouldn't feel a life of ridicule. We shouldn't fear a life of not having enough. But we should fear a life of being comfortable. We should fear a life of living in our own strength and doing just enough to get by. See, God is calling you to more. He's calling you to know him and make him known. It's based on his strength that we do this. It's with him. He justifies it. But I think another truth or hard idea that many of us have a hard time with this is that we tend too often to use our own weaknesses to reject what God's calling us to do. And we have the audacity to call it humility. You know, in many engaged couples, for example, I always encourage them to take our Before You Say I Do class. It's a premarital class that we take. We offer to young engaged couples, soon to be married couples. And it's great because they get to learn more about each other and their roles within a marriage. And one thing I always suggest is take personality tests. Is learn what your giftings are and maybe how each of you, a man and a wife, is different and how so they can learn each other, understand each other better, but also kind of understand different responsibilities throughout the house. Of maybe one is more gifted in budgeting, one is more gifted in certain chores, kind of defining who's going to do what. But I would encourage you, men, if you are ever asked by your wife to help around the house, say, hey, can you help with dishes or can you take out the trash? Please never say, oh, babe, that's just not my spiritual gifting. So you're on your own on this one, right? That's probably not a good idea. We cannot sit in our own weaknesses as a justification for not stepping into what God is calling us to do. Check out what Warren Wiersbe says. He says, it's one thing for us to know our own weaknesses, but it's quite something else for us to say that our weaknesses prevents God from getting anything done. Instead of being evidence for humility, this attitude reeks of pride. See, knowing yourself is only half the story. Our society is filled with learning more of who you are. Our world is telling us that you need to live a life that's true to you. Seek inside your heart and find out who you really are and live your truth. No, knowing your own weaknesses is only half the story. But trusting in God to fill in the gaps is another. I read this week. I wanted to share is that the next time you're tempted to let your own inadequacies get in the way of being used by God, remember this. That Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob lied. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses was a murderer and a stutterer. Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David was a murderer and adulterer. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was a murderer, and Lazarus was dead. God can use you. He can use you. But understand, we're called to more. And when we have to rely on his strength, that's the place we need to be. So God knows you, and this leads to trusting in him with our weaknesses and being transformed by him. So let's continue to read, starting in verse 9. Jeremiah 1, starting in 9, it says, this is God's response. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. See, God knows those he calls. He also justifies those he calls. And finally, we see this truth is that God equips those he calls. He equips those he calls. What does this mean? Saying that he will give you the necessary things and tools to accomplish what he's calling you to accomplish. Maybe in this situation, God gave Jeremiah his words. He said, it is my words that are in your mouth to share and to proclaim, not of your own. So we should not live a life of trying to be creative or trying to be charismatic or trying to appease other people's opinions, but God's word never returns void. So that's the beauty of it. You see, the gospel is good news. But more specifically, it's the proclamation of that good news. So our ability to proclaim the news says nothing about the goodness of it. Does that make sense? So say, again, another sports illustration. Imagine your favorite team just wins a big game. You're excited. And so you go to someone else and say, hey, how about them Cowboys, right? Or how about my favorite team? And so, but your ability to share the good news about your team winning says nothing about their victory because you had nothing to do with it. See, Jesus is alive. The grave is empty. So why should we feel inadequate to share news that we had no role in accomplishing? See, he set us free. He sent his son to die for you. And these words is what he's given us. So he's equipped you with his word and his Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin, to guide us, prompt us. So in his knowledge, he calls. In his power, he saves. His word and spirit equips us. It's just time to go and get it. So in this new year, as you're thinking who you're going to be and what you're going to do, my challenge to you is to remember that you're called to a life meant for more, an eternal calling, this eternal design to your life, and that we should invest in the eternal. Has God called you? He'll equip you and enable you. Are you following him? God's word says he will be with you. Are you sharing his word? Then he will accomplish his purposes no matter how people respond. So simply put, in order to seek a life that's meant for more, we have to know God, stop pretending, realize that God knows everything about you. He knows the sin in your life. Maybe for you, you've struggled with inviting Jesus into your life because maybe you're afraid of what he'll find. Maybe you've bought into lies. If only God knew the decisions I would make, maybe he wouldn't have sent Jesus to die for me. See, the thing is, that thing you're thinking of, the darkest part of your heart, is the exact reason why he sent his son, to pay for that. See, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Romans chapter 8, because it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. It says, those that are in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. So my challenge to you is to know God. One of my favorite songs that we've sung in our student ministry before is by a band called SEU Worship. It's called What a God. I love this song because the chorus goes, if the highest place I reach is at your feet, then I've done it all. know God. Seek after him. Spend time with him. Love him. Know him. Maybe for you, you're struggling with trusting him and your weaknesses, knowing that your inadequacies and what God may be calling you to do is just beyond what you think you can accomplish. You think, I can't share the gospel with my lost friend. I'm not articulate. Or I can't lead this Bible study. I don't know enough. It's often said that if God calls you to it, he'll see you through it. It just takes faith and trust in him. So maybe today you need to lay your burdens at his feet. Here in a moment, we're going to have an invitation where we stand and sing and pray together. And if you don't know Jesus, maybe you know about him. Maybe today you're convicted of saying, hey, I've put on a face. I've known about God, but I don't know him personally. Today is your day to make him your personal Lord and Savior. And again, maybe for you, it's you're not stepping into what God's calling you to do because of your own inadequacies or shortcomings. My challenge to you is to lay that at his feet today. Be transformed by him. It is only in his strength that we will follow after him. So how will you respond today? Maybe it's trusting in Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time. Maybe your next in your walk with the Lord is to get baptized as a public symbol of an inward decision of saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. Make that decision today. Maybe it's joining the church for the first time. You've been visiting and just joining, and maybe it's time to join this church and join a small group, join a community and be known by other people here. Maybe you just need to pray. Our ministers will be down in the front. They would love to pray with you however you need. So you come. I'm gonna pray, and then this is gonna be your time to respond. Father God, I thank you so much for this chance to be in your house with your people. God, I pray that as we reflect on what this new year could look like and maybe the goals and aspirations we have, God, I pray that we are never distracted by the things of this world. Help us remember why we're here. We're created to know you, walk with you, and make you known. I pray for those in the room that need to trust you as their Lord and Savior this morning. They know that their sin has separated them from you. But God, thank you for the gift of your grace and that you ask for all those who trust in you, you will save. God, ask for those that are going to come and make decisions to trust in you. Be with us in this time. Help us honor you with all we do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand. And whatever decision you need to make, you come.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling, yes, he is. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Isn't it good to be back in church today? Praise God. Man, it's always good to be in God's house with God's people. I love getting the chance to serve our families and our teenagers. And I'm looking forward to the new year. As a reminder, next Sunday, January 5th, all life groups are back together. And all three services will be happening 8:30, 10, and 11:30. So I encourage you, don't be distracted in this new year. Chase after what God's calling you to do, because he's with you to deliver you. Have a great Sunday. I'll see you in the new year. You're dismissed.